Okay, today I want to continue with Perek Shira. We've gone through a few of the items in Perek Shira. We're up to the sun. We'll do three today. One shot. The sun, the moon, and the stars. Okay, in Perek Shira we have three different songs. Let's first discuss the Shemesh. What is the Shira?
I'm going to turn off your air conditioner.
What is the Shira of the Shemesh? Shemesh, it's a pasuk in Chavakuk. Okay, the pasuk says Shemesh Yoreach Omad Zavula. Now, what's interesting right away, right off the bat, is with the pasuk that the Shemesh sings is not only about itself; it includes within its song the moon, the Shemesh, the Yoreach. Omad Zavula stood in Zavula. Zavula is one of the seven heavens. There are seven heavens, and one of them is Zavula. And Zavula appears, according to the Gemara, not to be the place where the sun belongs. The sun belongs, I guess, in the lower sphere. And La'orech Yitzecha, and the Pasuk says, why does the Shemesh go forward? It only goes forward, La'orech Yitzecha Yehalechu, by the light of your arrows, does the sun go forth. Linoga, by the brilliance, Birak Chanisecha, Birak means the lightning, like lightning comes from the same word, Birak Chanisecha, of your spear, of your sword, by the shine of the threat of seeing this brilliant shine from the Hashem's sword, does the sun become afraid. And it gets frightened, and it goes forth, it rises in the east, and it sets in the west. Okay, so this is the pasuk. It's a very strange pasuk. Probably if you go through Tanakh, you would find many pasukim where the sun does things, and yet the Mechaber of Perek Shira has selected this pasuk to describe the song of the Shemesh. Now, what does this pasuk really mean? So let's focus on a Gemara. There are different interpretations, but I want to focus for our purpose on the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin to bring out a point, to bring out an idea. Pasuk Masechta Sanhedrin of Kuf Yud Omid Aleph says as follows: Omar Rav, my diksiv, what does this pasuk mean? Shemesh Yareach Omad Zivula. The sun and the moon stood in the heavenly sphere called Zivula. And the only reason why the sun went forth was because Yalechu, it goes at the light when it sees the light of your arrows. In other words, Hashem is shooting arrows at the sun, so the sun gets moving, it gets act together and starts traveling. Melamed, she'olu shemesh v'yirech lezvul, the shemesh and yirech were on strike. They went on strike. When did they go on strike? During the time of Korach. When Korach rebelled against Moshe Rabbeinu, kolam kulam kedoshim usuchem Hashem, umadua tisnatzu al kahal Hashem, the sun said, you know what, I'm not going to shine, I don't like this world. This world is nonsense. Look what goes on, there are rebellions, the Jews are fighting among each other, they have no loyalty to their leader Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm on strike, I'm not going to work today, I'm not going to shine. So he went into Zavul. Zavul is not the domain, it's not the place where it belongs, and the rays of the sun were not shining. Amru lefan everybody, nishleilam, I'm on strike. I'm giving you an ultimatum. If you will come to the aid, the rescue of Moshe, and put an end to the rebellion, Netzei, we will leave Zavul, and we will go back to the Rekia, and we will go forth, we will go do our job. The Im Lav, if not, we're on strike, lo Netzei, we're not going out. That's what it says. The Gemara says it did it. Can it? Don't ask if it did it. That's what it says. It did it. Don't ask if you can, you can't. We have to have,
whether you like it or not.
That's what it did. The Im Lav, lo Netzei.
No.
So Hashem, so look what happened. So look what happened. Chazal tell us there is such a thing. This is a topic in and of itself. If the Bria has Bechira, we all know that we have Bechira. Okay, we can do whatever we want. We have Bechira. We have to held accountable for our decisions. But does Teva have Bechira? There is such a concept. So seemingly the answer is yes. There is some degree of Bechira that the Bria has. Look, the earth was instructed to produce 8 pri. that the bark should taste like the fruit. But the earth chose not to fulfill its command and ate Osepri. So here the sun is exercising its free will and is on strike. So Hashem says, go back to work, or I'm gonna hurt you. Ad shezorak bohem chitzim, Hashem shot arrows at the sun. Omar lohen, Hashem gave the sun musar. Hashem said, bichvoidi loy mechisem, bichvoid basavada mechisem. That what's going on all along, and since the creation of the world, there have been people that are worshipping idols. Every day people bow down to you, they bow down to the moon, they bow down to idols, and you never didn't bother you. When it came to my honor, that didn't bother you. You didn't want to go on strike. But now, all of a sudden, when they're giving Moshe a hard time, oh, all of a sudden, you're going to be the great savior. You're going on strike. And therefore, now all of a sudden, you don't want to go out. Therefore, Hashem had to go and punish the sun. The sun now goes forth. So all the Farshim ask. Hashem has a very good complaint. Indeed, Hashem has a very good complaint against the sun. Why was it that until now the sun did indeed go forth, and now suddenly the sun changed its mind? What happened? What was the sun thinking before and the sun thinking now? Now, so the answer is, the sun knew that there's something called Bechira. The sun was very well aware there's something called Bechira in this world. Hashem created the world of Hesed upon him. It's not obvious to all that HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists, that there is a creator, and Hashem opened up the way for people to rebel. That's what this world is all about. But the sun felt that's only true when it comes to the Bria, comes to nature. When you're dealing with people, tzaddikim, like Moshe Rabbeinu, human beings, who have reached an exalted level of prophecy, Navi, Moshe Rabbeinu was the Av HaNeviim, a person who was responsible for bringing down the Luchos, bringing down the Shekhinah to Har Sinai, and bringing Klal Yisrael to an exalted level, would take out Mitzrayim. How could anyone be so foolish to deny Moshe Rabbeinu's role, Moshe Rabbeinu's authority, Moshe Rabbeinu's authenticity in being Hashem Shliach to this world? How that can't be? This is off the charts. To deny the existence of Hashem in Teva, to bow down to the sun, to bow down to the moon, to bow down to trees. Okay, that's all built into creation. But Moshe Rabbeinu has gone to a new level. He has created, he's a human being who has reached an exalted level. That is not something which can be denied. And if people are coming to deny Moshe Rabbeinu's role as being the Bechir Hashem, being that is something which is not up for negotiation. And Hashem said, I'm sorry, but that's the way the world is. In other words, what has happened? In other words, what is this pasuk Chazal telling us? Telling us something that is incredible and it's just mind-boggling. How powerful this Chazal is. When Korach came along, Korach introduced into this world a challenge to the Emuna of Moshe Rabbeinu. Something which even the Shemesh didn't expect to happen. You can challenge, you can deny Hashem's existence, but to deny that Moshe Rabbeinu is the real thing, to deny that Moshe is the Av HaNeviim, that no one ever expected. Korach invented in this world, he planted seeds of doubt that the leaders of Klal Yisrael, Torah is Namen HaShemayim. That's really what he accomplished. He accomplished something that is shocking. You can deny Hashem is the creator. Okay, fine. The Teva, nature. Because I don't see Hashem. Prove me that there's a co-creator. I don't see it. But I have the Torah. You have the Torah. There was Yetzias Mitzrayim. There was Matan Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu brought down the Torah. You're going to deny that it never happened? You're going to deny that Moshe Rabbeinu is just a charlatan? Everything is just, he made up the whole thing? That's crazy. You belong in a psych ward to do that. Korach invented. No. Moshe Rabbeinu, maybe, are you really sure he's the real thing? Maybe Moshe Rabbeinu, he made it all up. Maybe there is no Torah. Maybe everything is just his great magician. This is what the damage that Korach did. When that happened, the Shemesh went on strike, and Hashem said to the sun, you're right, it's a big problem, but it doesn't matter. That's how the world is. and doesn't matter. That's the way the world. In the world, there is bechira. There's a two levels of bechira in this world. There's bechira being makir Hashem in teva, and there's bechira. There's a muna that's required to be makir Hashem even in Moshe Rabbeinu, even in nevuah, even in the Torah. A new level of nevuah, a new level of emunah was introduced with what Korach did. Now, and because of this, what happened? And this is the critical part which we need for the Shira of the Shemesh. Because of that, the Shemesh was really it was on strike. It was not happy. The only reason why the Shemesh went back to work and would rise in the east, instead in the west, is because Hashem forced its hand. I'm going to shoot at you arrows. You're under duress. And we all know very well there's a very big difference between someone who works under duress and a person who works because they love what they do. If you have a teacher and the teacher loves what they do, they love to teach. So it's a different type of lesson. It's a different class. Any job, any profession where a worker is devoted, he'll stay overtime, he'll do it a little bit better. He'll do with a lot of tam bereach. But if a person only does his job because he needs the money and he detests his line of work, I'm not going to work a minute more than I have to. 9 to 5 with all of my breaks and all of the benefits. And if it's a whole different type of work. When something is not done the sefer panim yafos, there's no siyata d'shmaya. It's not the results. There is no success, and there is no bracha. The classic example is a person gives his father does the ultimate mitzvah of kibud av v'em leman yarichun yomecha. Leman yarichun yomecha leman yitavach. You have a mitzvah of kibud av v'em. Kibud is one of the mitzvahs. Hakadosh Baruch Hu promises are going to be one of arichas yomim mishanim. So, what is the Torah? Let's say a child gives his father pisyon. He gives his father the most expensive dish in the world, and the father says to the son, "Son, how are you able to afford this?" So the son says to the father, "Old man, what do you care? What's your business? Just eat, chew your food." So, what does the Gemara say? This person not only has he forfeited the arichas yomim. Arich Hashem, he has no chelik olam haba. He loses everything. Why? But results, right? Isn't it all about results? Bottom line is, you have food. What? But isn't the world is a result driven world? That's the way it is. You don't care on how it's done. Is it done? But say panim yafos. That's the way the world is by and large. If the money comes in, I don't care how you did it. I don't care. You provide results. The father has what to eat. He is not starving. He has good food. The son went and he did it. He got him the food. Who cares how the son did it, what he said, how he said. Chazal tell us that's not the way it works. Just because you do something, there are results. There's something to the method, the way you bring about the results. It comes out, according to this, that there are two worlds. There was a world of Teva. Now, when the sun rises in the east and sets in the west, that doesn't just represent the sun, that represents Teva. Teva has a mission to serve man, to bring bracha to this world. There are two worlds. There's the world before Korach and the world after Korach. Before Korach, when the sun rised in the morning and set in the evening, it did it b'sefer panim yafos. It was devoted, it was dedicated. It enjoyed its line of work. In the morning, the sun rises. It brings a shefa of brach into this world. Maybe there's a little bit overtime. There's more dedication. There's more devotion. After Korach, the son says to Hashem, "Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm on strike. I don't care about this world anymore." Hashem says, "I don't care you're on strike. I have a court order. Go back to work or I'll put you in jail. I'll shoot you." But the son's hand is forced. It's under duress. It's a different world. When the son is going to work every single day to provide for man in this world and is not doing it with devotion, it's a very low quality world. And who is responsible for this change? Korach. Why? Because Korach, he had the chutzpah to invent in this world a challenge to the emunah of Moshe Rabbeinu. So what's the tikkun? What is the solution? The solution is, when would the son go back to work? If Klal Yisrael would again do tshuva and would upgrade their emuna in Moshe Rabbeinu, in Torah Min HaShemayim, in everything that Moshe Rabbeinu represents, and of course all of the Moshe Rabbeinus of every generation, then the son would be appeased. The son would be appeased for the avla that's taking place in this world, and then the son would once again serve this world with devotion and dedication. That is, like we think of the world. There are two worlds, different levels of two worlds. There's the world before the Chet Eitz Hadas, and the world after the Eitz Hadas. There's the world before the Mabul, the world after the Mabul. There's the world before Adam Rishon, before Avraham Avinu, the world after Avraham Avinu. The world before Matan Torah, the world after Matan Torah. But there's another two different worlds. The world before Korach and the world after Korach. Before Korach, when no one would dare challenge Emunas Chachamim, it wasn't an issue. Then Teva serve the world with devotion, dedication. And when there's dedication and devotion, and it's an enjoyable, there is automatically Barucha that comes to the world. After Korach, the Korach said, that's it, the world is over, it's not Kedai to do anything, I'll only do it because I'm forced. Okay, you'll do, there'll be results. But the results are not worth very much when it's not done with any Tam Bereach. And the only way to restore that is that the Shemesh and the Erech should shine again with devotion, dedication, is only when Klal Yisrael does tshuva and increases, upgrades its degree of emuna in Moshe, it's emuna in emunas chachamim, and everything that Moshe Rabbeinu represented that was challenged by Korach. Okay, now just to bring out, to illustrate this idea one step further, on Rosh Hashanah, what is Rosh Hashanah? Rosh Hashanah is Hayoim Haras Olam. It is the renewal of the Olam HaTeva. Rosh Chodesh Nisan is the renewal of the spiritual world. But Rosh Chodesh we focus on whether it's Rabbi Eliezer, Hayoim Haras Olam. It's the beginning of the world. And what do we do at the beginning of the world? We blow shofar. What do we do before we blow shofar? What do we say? Vamatzeach Livnei Korach Mizmar. Why do we say that Mizmar seven times? So there are 100 reasons why he said that Mizmar. But one of the reasons that we say it is because it's Livnei Korach. It's the children of Korach. The Korach's children is the only thing we have left from Korach. They did tshuva. They're doing tshuva when the world is renewed. On Rosh Hashanah, Teva is renewed. Teva's on strike. Since the time of Korach, Teva said, we're not interested. We quit. Hashem says, you can't quit. I'm going to force you. I'm going to shoot arrows. I'm going to take out my spear, my sword. I'm going to twist your arm. Okay, we have no choice. Okay, so the world continues. The world every single year in Rosh Hashanah is renewed, but it's renewed against its will. But that's not going to help us. We need the world to be renewed the way it was originally, where the Teva serves this world with devotion. They're happy to serve. It's an honor to serve this world. The only way that can be restored is when we remove the damage of Korach. Because Korach is the one that brought this damage, which changed the attitude of the Shemesh V'Yireach only to serve when its arm has been twisted. That is why on Rosh Hashanah, at the time of the renewal of the world, we have to focus on that Korach's chait has been rectified, at least to some degree, because of his children. Brok haradavua lamatzeach livnei Korach mizmar kola antiluchaf. Everyone should come together and be recognized that there is a creator. You recognize there is a creator. The next logical step is there's amunis chacham, amunis Torah, amunis Moshe Rabbeinu, and so on and so forth. It all follows from that. So therefore, it is critical at the time of Rosh Hashanah to focus on Korach, because Rosh Hashanah is the time of the renewal of the physical world. The shift in the attitude of the physical world has dramatically changed the time of Korach, illustrated here in this pasuk of the Shemesh. And that needs to be rectified in order to go further. Okay, this is one. Okay, the seven times, the emphasis, you have to make it a little dramatic also. Ceremony.
No, we're according to what you're saying, to the creation of the world.
Seven days. Seven is Teva, seven. Okay.
7 days.
7 days. Everything. Seva is teva, is nature. Okay, the other reason we mentioned seva.
The tshuva is 7 days because somebody died. It took 7 days to create.
My favorite, the favorite part of seven, I mentioned this because just like at the end of Rosh Hashanah, end of Yom Kippur, we say Hashem Hu Elokim 7 times, and that it refers to Siluk HaShchina. The Shechina is departing. We say goodbye one level at a time to the seventh heaven. We say La Natzeach LeVekach Mizmor 7 times. It's the Shechina is arriving. Between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, it's the Aseres Yimei Tshuva where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is close to us. Hashem arrives and He departs. So how does Hashem arrive? He arrives with the shofar. So we say La Natzeach LeVekach Mizmor each time that we recite that mizmor corresponds to one of the times that we recite Hashem Hu Elokim at the end of Yom Kippur to say goodbye. Just like Hashem Elokim, everyone understands, you say it 7 times, because each time you say it, the Shechina goes to the next level before it's back to its place in Shemayim. So to we say La Natzeach Mizmor, that we say it 7 times to bring Kadosh Baruch Hu closer into creation.
So would that be a reason to blow the shofar at the end of Yom Kippur?
No, there are many reasons. There are many reasons for Yovel, Zech, for Yovel, Ayin, Panim. Okay, that's not. I don't know. That's a different topic. That's another idea. But okay, this is one idea I found to be very interesting about. Okay, now let's give me one idea for the moon. Let's discuss quickly the moon. The moon. Everyone knows the pasuk. The moon is the Shnei Hamoris Hagadolim. Hamor Hagadolim Mshalas Hayom. The Hamor Hakatolim Mshalas Halayla. We have a contradiction. First, we have the Mor Hagadol. Then we have the Mor. Then it's called the Mor Hakaton. So what happened? So what happened to the moon? The moon at one point in time was originally the same size as the sun. It had its own source of light. The moon complained, Hashem was mefayis the moon, Hashem made the moon, Hashem was attempted to mefayis the moon. What did Hashem do? So I want to point out two things, which two different Mamari Chazal, which complement one another. And opens up a little bit into a deeper understanding about into the moon. What did the moon?
Hashem told him to go
Hashem said Hashem was mamayit the moon. So the moon came to complain. The moon said, "Everybody, it's not fair. Just because I complain, I'm the one that has to suffer. I have to be diminished." So Hashem said, "You're right." This is a Gemara Masechta Chul Daf Samach, one of the very bizarre Gemaras. So Hashem said, "You're right. I made a mistake. I made a mistake. Whatever. You're right. I'll be mefayis you. I will give you the stars. I'll give you the stars." One of the Mamari Chazal tells us that I'll create stars, and the stars will be company for you. Incredible Chazal. I don't think that's in the Gemara. Maybe it is in the Gemara Chul. It's another Chazal. Hashem was mefayis the moon by giving the moon the stars. The only reason why there are stars, incredible chiddush. How many stars are there out there? Unlimited. Billions, trillions. How many can the human eye see? I think 8,000. I think I read somewhere once that the naked eye can see at night 8,000 stars. 8,000 stars. So Hashem gave the moon, the stars were only created as a pious, as a way to appease, an appeasement to the moon. Incredible. Okay, that's one Chazal. Okay, the Gemara goes on to tell us, the moon wasn't happy, so Hashem said, "They'll call you Katan." The moon wasn't happy. The end was, Hashem said, "Okay, fine, bring a carbon on Rosh Chodesh. On Rosh Chodesh, bring a carbon, it'll be an atonement for being mamayit the moon." Okay, that's a discussion of what exactly that means. That's a different discussion. But there's a Rav Sadia Gaon. Rav Sadia Gaon, he says the following Chodesh, in being a Bereshis, he makes this statement, he says this, now we know that when Hashem created the Shemesh and the Ma'aseh Bereishis, Chazal tell us, "Vayalakim es or ki tov." What does that mean? It was too good. Hashem saw the or was too good. It was too good for man to enjoy. It's not kedai for the wicked to be nene from the or in this world. So what did Hashem do? He took that or and he hid it away for the tzaddikim la'osid lava. That's Chanukah Torah, Chanukah, the Arganus, the 36 Neros. It represents the Arganus from Ma'aseh Bereishis. So we have a stira. I'm sorry. I didn't say stira. That's what it says in Chazal. Rav Sadia Gaon says, "Where did Hashem hide that R?" So this is Rav Sadia Gaon. I don't think you heard this before. Maybe you did. It was nignaz in the R of the stars. When you see the stars at night, they're only reflecting the light of the sun. But the light that you see from the stars is the or hagonus la tzadikim for la asalava. When Chazal said that Hashem saw the aura of the Shemesh was too good, and he had to take that aura and put it away from the stick of the Yasalava, where did Hashem put it? Where is it stored? It's stored in the light that we see, and from our perspective, we see that the stars have light, even though it's really reflective light of the sun, but we see that it has light. That is the Or HaGanus for the Tzadikim La'asilava. So I have a contradiction. On the one hand, we have a Chazal that tells us that the stars is the pius for the Mimimait of the Levana. On the other hand, the stars, what do they represent? They represent the Or HaGanus for the Tzadikim La'asilava. So what are the stars? Are the stars just someone to accompany the moon, or the stars serve the function that they represent the Or HaGanus? The answer is the two sides of the same coin. What is the pius of the moon? The pius of the moon is you are relegated to La'asilava. There's Shnei HaMa'oris HaGadam. I created in this world two Ma'oris HaGadam. They were both meant to be Olam HaZeh. You came and you complained. In this world, so Hashem says, I'll give you something better. You think I'm being mimayit you? Have patience. You are going to relate to Or HaGonuz L'Tzadikim L'Asalavo. It's not a punishment. You complain. You said something that is correct. For now, it appears that it's a problematic. But
the mom explains it. The sun doesn't have its own light either. It's just reflecting the light of creation.
Yeah, so it's also
so to speak. In other words, the Or HaGanus at the time.
It's also an Or HaGanus.
Is right.
A different form of an Or HaGanus.
It's just reflecting its a product of the fire of creation.
But this is an Or HaGanus, a secondary Or HaGanus. Okay, it's a secondary Or HaGanus, the Yasalava. Okay, so now this idea just captures the essence of the Levana. The Levana, as the Pasuk in Pasuk in Perek Shir, it says about the Levana, what is the tafkid of the Levana? Also, Yerech Lemoadim, the Yereach's tafkid is spiritual matters. Shemesh Yodam Mivo'o, the Shemesh, it's known its course, and the implication is, but the moon, it's not known its course. The theme of the Pasuk, according to most of the Mepharshim, is the difference between the sun and the moon is the sun represents the physical world. The moon represents the spiritual world. The Mo'adim are all spiritual times of the year. This is, who is the king of the Mo'adim? The moon. The moon is, based upon the moon, when the moon renews, is how we count the Chodoshim to calculate the Mo'adim. What are the Mo'adim? Ruchnius. What is the accompaniment of the moon? The stars. What is the stars? The Or HaGanus L'Tzadikim L'Asalavo. Everything about the moon represents Ruchnius, whereas the sun represents Gashmius. Okay, that is one idea for the moon. The other one that I wanted to point out, I saw that both the sun and the moon are very generous. When they sing Shira, it's a Musa Haskell for us, when they sing Shira, they don't take the limelight for themselves. Each one joins with them a partner. When the moon sings Shira, it says, Also Yerech L'Moadim, Shemesh Yoda Mavo. The moon includes in its song a reference to the sun. And when the sun sings Shira, the sun also includes within it the moon. The pasuk for the sun is Shemesh Yoreach Amad Zavula La'orchitzecha Yahalechu L'Nega Berak Chanisecha. The sun and the moon realize they're only half of the day, and when they have an opportunity to sing Shira, they are generous in that they say, "I want to also thank my partner. My partner is the moon, and this is the partner." That's a very big Musar Haskalah, that when a person in his life has the opportunity to sing Shira, and you have a partner, don't take it for yourself, even though it's your chance. The sun will have, the moon will have its chance. Right now, I'm the sun. I have my chance to sing Shira. But you have a partner. Your partner is the moon. You only operate for 6 hours, for 12 hours a day. Don't be so self-centered. Give someone else also a little cover. That is a very powerful Musar Haskalah of the Perek Shira when you're dealing with the sun and the moon. And there's one other idea I came across yesterday very quickly. I saw from Rabbi Salifkin Many of you know the name Nosson Salifkin, but that's Salifkin. So he has a very, very nice book on Perek Shira. He says an idea. The idea is half-baked. I don't know, but it's something to think about. We know the first Rashi in Chumash says, that Lohoyet Zorch Lahatar Lahaskil is a Torah Elo Achoydish Hazel Lochem Roish Chodoshim. The Torah did not need to begin with the story of Maaseh Bereishis, but instead it could have began with the very first mitzvah of HaChodesh Hazel Lochem Roish Chodoshim, the renewal of the moon. Bez Din sanctifies the moon. So Rabbi Salifkin, he says, how could it be the Torah would ignore Maaseh Bereishis? Maaseh Bereishis is so fundamental. It can't be that the Torah, do Chazal really literally mean that we're going to ignore Maaseh Bereishis and only focus on Anchoyz Elohim? Okay, so he says an incredible idea. He says, because if you study the moon, you will realize what a signature. Like Jack Lew. You just like...
Yeah, zero.
He asked someone, you notice he has a lot of zeros. Jack Lew. It's a lot. It's just.
He said, no, Jack.
What?
Secretary of Treasury.
You notice. You know why, Jack?
Zero, 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 zero.
Zero, zero. It's a lot of money. Okay, so.
I'm still on
our Vita Kof Halbe. So Slivkin, he says an idea, and he says the idea is when Chazal tell us that the Torah could have begun with Achoz Elohim, it's not telling us that we're going to ignore Maaseh Bereishis. It's telling something very deep. In the moon, if we study the moon, the whole essence of the moon, in the moon lies the entire story of Maaseh Bereishis. Oh, we could ignore. We have Maaseh Bereishis. Let's ignore the whole story. Who needs to know Bereishis, Bor Elokim, Meis Hashemayim Ve'Eretz, Vayom Elokim Yihyar, Vayihyar. This happens, that happens. Forget it. We don't need this. This is not, they'll make a medrash out of this. We'll start with the first mitzvah, Achoz Elohim. It's not the pshat. The Torah cannot ignore creation. Creation is critical to the Torah. It's just that the story of creation can be told by stunning the moon. The moon starts from nothing. When the moon rises, it's zero. What happens? It wanes, waxes, then it wanes. There's a renewal. There's a creation that takes place in the moon. There's a cycle from all of the different parts, all the different celestial objects. The moon is the object from which we can learn about the story of creation more so than any other thing in the heavens. And that is what it alludes to with the words of Rashi, Lo yitzach lahaskel achoz elohem. It'll be two birds with one stone. You learn about a mitzvah, and you'll learn about the nature of the moon. It will right away lead you to discover the entire story of creation. Because the complex nature of the moon is such that hidden in that. What exactly does that mean? I don't know. He doesn't explain either. But it's a whole new idea. This idea I haven't heard before, never seen before. Have you ever heard such an idea like this before? That the moon itself, that's what Chazal must have meant to say. It's a whole different idea to hone in on the moon. Okay, one other idea about the sun and the moon. I once heard this for a number of years ago. When Moshe Rabbeinu died and Yoshua took over, Klal Yisrael complained. And what did they say? They said, oh, Moshe was like the Shemesh, and Yoshua is like the moon. And Ein Edoymes, or the similar understanding is, the Shemesh provides during the day a lot of light. And at night, how much light does the moon already provide? Even when it's a full moon, how much light? Moshe is Kenech, I'm Yeshua Kenech. No, the moon is also good. You can't say the moon doesn't provide any light. And in the middle of the month, when there's a full moon, you go in the desert, you know, you can make out, you can travel. But the light that Yeshua provides, in a dime, it's not so. Yeshua is shvach keneged Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the similar interpretation of the Chazal. However, it means much more than that. It's not only the quality of light. It's a different object. The Shemesh is the Shemesh. The moon is the moon. It's a whole different world. You can't compare Moshe Rabbeinu to Yoshua. Moshe Rabbeinu, it's not just the amount of light you could put up the dimmer. high setting and a low setting, but they're both, you know, it's on the dimmer. No, this is one type of light bulb, and this is an entirely different type of light. It's an entirely different min. That's what Chazal trying to emphasize. Pnei Moshe, Kivnei Achama, Pnei Yeshua, Kivnei Alvana. It's a whole different league. And each generation, the Skadnu Hadoros, there's some degree where you go from one to the other. You're not just going down in setting. You're going from one league to an entirely different league. Okay, last thing is the stars. One short idea relating to the stars. The stars, we have a pasuk, we say this in davening. Atohu Hashem Elokim Hashem. Oh, wait, no, that's not the pasuk. Let me just turn pages. Atohu Hashem Levadecha. Asher Asisa Es Hashamayim. Ush and Shemei Hashamayim. V'chol Tzivaam. We have the heavens. The heavens of the heavens, and all of the hosts. Then it says in the pasuk, Ha'aretz, the earth, V'chol asher oleha, Hayamim, the seas, V'chol asher bohem, V'yato mechaye es kulam. Now the pasuk would stop there, you'd be very happy. Right, you'd be very happy with that pasuk. Pasuk goes on to say, who bows down to Hashem? Utzva hashamayim l'cha mishtachavim. From all of the things that we've mentioned, the only one that bows down to Hashem is the Tzva Hashemayim. We have Shemayim, the Shmei Hashemayim, the Chol Tzva'am. Then we have the Oretz, and we have the Yam, V'chol Hashem, and we have the Yamim, V'chol Hashem. And I saw one of the Farshim, he says that the word Tzva does not only mean stars. Tzva, in the beginning of Bereshit, also refers to every object that's part of an order in any setting. For example, all of the creatures on this world are called the Tzva Ha'aretz. Vayechulu Hashemayim V'Ha'aretz V'Chol Tzva'am. The word Tzva'am is going on the Aretz also. There's a Tzva Hashemayim, there's a Tzva of the Aretz, and there is a Tzva of the Yam. There are three Tzva'os. Right, besides Tzva Hashem from Lubavitch. There's the Tzva Hashemayim, Tzva Haaretz. I have a card still. Somewhere I have my card, my Tzva Hashem card. The Tzva Hashemayim. I never got a dollar bill. I never went to the Rebbe for a dollar bill. I have though from my grandfather. I think I saved them. I have them. I even laminated them. So I have the Tzva Hashemayim and the Tzva Hashemayim, the Tzva Haaretz, and the Tzva Hayamim. Why is it the only one that bows down to Hashem is the Tzva Hashemayim? Why not? And the way it's interpreted is that since they rise in the east and they set in the west, just like the sun rises, the stars rise and set, it's as if they're bowing down to Hashem. So the answer, I think I saw this in Sif called Nesiv Bin, it's the Sefer on Perek Shira, and he explains because in the earth, we are misled to believe that the Tzva Haaretz derives its sustenance from the earth. Everything in the earth, all of the trees, all of plants, all of animals, where do they derive their sustenance from? The earth. Where does man derive his sustenance from? The earth. So the Tzva of the Haaretz bows down to the earth. It's not obvious. Where do all the creatures of the sea, where do they derive their sustenance from? From the sea, from the Yam. The Tzva Hayam, they derive their sustenance from the Yam. The Tzva Haaretz derives sustenance. But the Tzva Hashamayim does not derive its sustenance from the Shamayim. You look in the sky, what do you see in the sky? You see the heavens, the Shamayim, the Shmei Hashamayim. You look up into the sky, and you see stars. Are the stars deriving their sustenance from the atmosphere, from the environment in the outer space? Doesn't appear to us, to the naked eye, that it does so. They appear to be independent. On the earth, when you look at the trees and the vegetation, and you look at animals, you look at man, where is man getting all of its sustenance from? The earth. The earth produces grain. The earth produces food. The animals eat grass. Animals live off the land. We live off the animals. Everything comes from the earth. When in the sea, where is all the fish getting their food from? From the sea, the water. No one is coming on to our Kadosh Baruch Hu. No one has any relationship of any independence. But in the heavens, when you look up into the sky, and you see the sky, what is the sky from our perception? Nothing. It's just space. And what's in the sky? billions and trillions of planets, the Tzva HaShemayim, all the stars, are they deriving their existence from the environment the same way that Tzva HaOretz derives its chiyus from the environment? No. Tzva HaOretz derives its chiyus from the earth. The Tzva HaYam derives its chiyus from the Yam. But the Tzva HaShemayim does not seem to us to be deriving its environment from the Shemayim and from the Shmei HaShemayim. Who does it acknowledge created them? Only HaKadosh Baruch. That's why the pasuk says, "Utzva HaShemayim l'cha mishtachvim." Not the Tzva HaOretz and not the Tzva HaYam, only the Tzva HaShemayim. And that's the Musar that we learn from this pasuk. Atohu Hashem levadecha. When we come to bow down, we live in this world, we have to acknowledge that everything ultimately comes directly from Hashem. He is the one. From whom can we learn from? We can't learn from this world, and we can't learn from the Yam. Because we look at this world, we look at the Yam, it's not obvious. They're fooling us. The only place that we can go and we can find the source that we can acknowledge that a creature only comes onto HaKadosh Baruch Hu and nothing else is only from the Tzva HaShemayim. And this is what makes the stars very proud. The stars have one up over everything else in the creation because it knows that when we want to learn this concept, Atohu Hashem Levadecha, you're in charge. There's no intermediary. Stars say it's us. We are the prototype. We are the model. Not the Tzva HaOretz, not the Tzva HaYam, because there are too many intermediaries. So that is the three sun, moon, stars.